The EntertainmentEarth.com podcast doesn't reflect the opinions of Entertainment Earth's management, its employees, its affiliates, you, me, or anyone you know. Be cool, don't sue. Hello, and welcome to the Entertainment Earth podcast for Friday, December 14th, 2007. I am your host, as always, Adam Paulus. Not only am I your host, I'm the only person who's ever on here. I gotta get some special guests in the new year, I think. But anyway, I'm here today to tell you about lots of new movies and TVs and stuff and things. Got a bit of a cold, I think, so if that bothers you, you might want to skip this one. But don't be surprised if you hear wild, uncontrollable sneezing in the middle of the show. Just a warning slash guarantee. Let's start with movies. New this week in the box office, or at the box office, maybe a more proper way to say. I Am Legend, starring Will Smith and a whole cast of vampires. Alvin and the Chipmunks, starring Alvin and some chipmunks. The Perfect Holiday, The Kite Runner, and Youth Without Youth. The reviews for all of these movies collectively have been bad. It doesn't mean you won't enjoy them, it just means they haven't been great. I heard I Am Legend was fairly entertaining, and Will Smith did a good job with what he was given. And Alvin and the Chipmunks was basically not a wink-wink, nudge-nudge, Shrek-type humor fest for adults and kids. It's mostly just a kid movie. The other three just have been basically kind of mediocre reviews. Last week at the box office, Golden Compass was number one with $25.8 million, followed by Enchanted, This Christmas, Fred Claus, and Beowulf. Fred Claus has not only been doing steady business, it's also had really terrible reviews, but it's done $65 million so far and continues to be in the top box office take, so I guess America loves mediocrity. America has spoken. Toys and stuff. Star Wars, yet another series of titanium vehicle repaints has hit, including the Shadow AT-AT, Imperial Viewing Fighter, Trade Federation Tank, Blizzard Force Speeder Bike, and Hoth AT-ST. So far, I've only seen these at Walmart, so take that into consideration. Also, the Walmart exclusives for the end of the year have started showing up. I have not seen any of them yet, which means I get to drag my sorry sick butt out to several Walmarts all over the valley on Saturday and Sunday. The new items that have been cited are the new Galactic Heroes Cantina 8-packs, and the Max Rebo band packs. Each Max Rebo band pack has several figures for about $25. The Galactic Heroes Cantina sets are about $20 each. The three comic book 2-packs that Walmart has as an exclusive have not shown up yet. As far as I know, no one has seen them. So if you're wondering why you haven't found them yet, that's because you're just like everyone else, and we're all very special. Transformers. Apparently there will be multiple waves, as many as four perhaps, of Transformers Classics starting the end of next year, with great figures like Prowl, which was mentioned in a recent issue of Toy Fair that I just got yesterday. The entire lineup hasn't been 100% confirmed yet, but there are lots of mutterings of characters like Sideswipe, Sunstreaker, Galvatron, and A-Tank, and A-Triple Changer, which I'm assuming means Blitzwing. I'll be very happy if they do Blitzwing, because I don't know if you collected Transformers Classics. You can listen to our shows from last year to find out more about them. But Astro Train was a marvel of toy engineering. It was just really fun and really cool, and I'd like to see more of these triple changers. Astro Train, of course, goes from robot to train to spaceship, which is what we call in the business a real toy. G.I. Joe. Pictures for all of Wave 3 of the G.I. Joe comic packs have been revealed. You can see them at Entertainment Earth or the G.I. Joe fan club today. Pictures revealed include Ace and Wild Weasel, Tomax and Zaymot, and more. Unlike the previous couple of waves, these are all awesome, as opposed to just being pretty cool. There's a lot of new figures in here, including a battle-damaged Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, which on paper sounds crappy, but once you see the pictures, you'll go, oh, well, that's pretty cool. I put myself down for a set already because I'm a sucker, and I love comic packs, Star Wars, G.I. Joe, whatever they want to do. If they do Transformers comic packs, I've got money, Hasbro, let's cash in on this, shall we? G.I. Joe Club, Tanks for the Memories, Tanks, that were pre-sold at the convention this year are now canceled due to mold breakage and unavailability issues. So some of the molds are missing, and some of the molds broke while they were using them, which makes you feel real good. Fans who pre-ordered these items will be given a refund in the very near future. Ray Park has been confirmed as Snake Eyes for the G.I. Joe movie by Hasbro, so he's not a rumor anymore. He's the real deal. That's pretty awesome. The only other casting decision that's been confirmed is Sienna Miller as the Baroness, which looks like it's going to be pretty cool too. Indiana Jones, the official Indiana Jones website, revealed the theatrical teaser poster, which is now available for sale. Also, Gentle Giant announced the first statue, Indiana Jones on a horse, and the first bust, just Indiana Jones, yesterday. You can see these and pre-order these Gentle Giant items at entertainmentearth.com or your favorite online store, which should be entertainmentearth.com. Anime! Organic announced they're going to be importing a super cool, really awesome Revoltech figure of Fate State Knight Rin. She looks awesome. This Revoltech figure is super articulated, but looks like a statue. You really can't see the articulation, so it combines the best of both worlds. So she looks like a high-end toy, but she costs the same as a Revoltech figure. So about $24 will get you one of the best, most detailed figures money can buy, and it's about 6 inches tall. They're also doing a Rei Ayanami from Evangelion. So it's going to be a great couple of figures here. They're called the Revoltech Fräulein Siller. I can't talk. I don't feel well. Revoltech Fräulein series, which, of course, is German. There are going to be two so far, and they show that Kyoto and the engineers over there are really getting good at figuring out how to hide articulation and give fans more of what they want. KISS. Toy Vault is doing a line of 20-inch KISS plush toys. Each one is really big and nicely detailed. Pre-orders are welcome at $49.99 per figure, and they are due for a May delivery. Okay, now let's shift gears to the games of the video variety. Xbox 360, this week you can download Arcadian Warriors or Gripshift. But really, would you want to? I haven't downloaded them yet. I'm not impressed. Arcadian Warriors, you can some fantasy thing where you change into animals, and Gripshift is another racing game. Wow! Wii downloaders this week can try out Ghosts and Goblins from the NES, Baseball Stars 2 from the Neo Geo, and Pokemon Snap. Ghosts and Goblins is a punchingly hard game and lots of fun. If you've never played it and you're old enough to appreciate an NES game that, you know, smacks you upside the head and beats you savagely, I'd recommend it. Pokemon Snap has been upgraded to involve online photo sharing of your photos on the Wii, so it's one of the first games on the Wii Virtual Console to actually have been altered from the original release. So that could be pretty cool. Nintendo DS, file this under Only in Japan. With the success of Brain Training and English Training and many other training games, Namco Bandai Games is releasing Classic Video Game Training. The idea is that this DS game will better train you to play classic NES games. This may be one of the coolest pitches I've seen so far. No word yet in a US release date, but there are like hundreds of mini-games. They're kind of like WarioWare, but not, and you can read all about it on your favorite video game site. We hope it comes out in America. Also, Square Enix has announced a sequel to the legendary Final Fantasy IV, but it's for Japanese cell phones, so it'll probably suck, and you will never get to play it. Aren't you fortunate? New at Entertainment Earth. It's not too late to get stuff for the holidays. It's getting pretty close, so you're going to have to use fast shipping, but you can still get great items, and if you're not really concerned about when they come, you can get them shipped for free till the end of the year. If you order $85 worth of in-stock merchandise, you will get your order shipped to you for free. Some restrictions, of course, apply. It's for U.S. Super Saver shipping only. We're getting lots and lots of new items every day. They're also selling out every day because it's the holidays, and it's our busy season, everyone. Over 2,000 items are in stock today, and lots of them are going fast. We sold out of a bunch of great stuff this week, like, you know, that Star Wars Delta Squad set. You can't have it anymore. The Star Wars Transformers Millennium Falcon, gone. A lot of great stuff's gone forever. So if there's something you've been wanting, don't dawdle, order today. We've got over 2,000 items in stock that are going fast. Don't miss your chance to get awesome items like the holiday exclusive special edition Bubba Fett bobblehead. It's an Entertainment Earth exclusive. There's not very many of them, and they're almost gone. The diecast Voltron's in stock and going fast, and we also have limited quantities of the 1980s Mattel Cher Barbie doll. So if you want to order some really great stuff for yourself or someone you love, be sure to get your order in today at Entertainment Earth. And now, the moment you've been waiting for, or not, Toy of the Week! Toy of the Week, the last few weeks has been lots and lots of Star Wars figures because Hasbro's been cranking these suckers out. And this week is no exception because we've got at least one more wave after this one to go through before we're done. This week we're going to look at, depending on who you ask, Wave 8 or Wave 7.5. I think Wave 7.5 is illogical because any assortment with seven new figures is a new wave, so it's Wave 8. What do we have this week? Glad you asked. I have them sitting behind me on the couch directly behind my person. So let's start down the line. The first one I'm looking at is holographic Darth Vader. Well, fun fact about all these figures is they were chosen in a combination of Dan Curto from RebelScum.com and Hasbro when the Force Unleashed figures were delayed till 2008. They need to get a bunch of repaints out in a hurry because the original intent this year was to not do a repaint wave because they've done multiple repaint waves at the end of 2005 and 2006. So this repaint wave wasn't supposed to happen, but obviously sometimes you need to make it happen in a hurry to get figures out, so they did a great job at picking seven good figures that I think are almost as exciting as any other wave this year, which is both really cool and really depressing all at once, because it's like it's a bunch of repaints, but it's the greatest grab bag of figures all year. because there's something from almost every era. Well, it's mostly prequel heavy, but if you like, well, I'll get into it in a minute. So back to Darth Vader, the holographic version. It was originally supposed to be a different mold, but they ended up using the Darth Vader Emperor's Wrath mold from Power of the Jedi. This mold's been used for multiple Darth Vaders. You can call it Darth Vader's where you can see his skull underneath because of the X-ray effects of Force Lightning. This is the mold that was used. Also, the Hoth Darth Vader with the snow on the bottom of his cape a few years ago. Same one. The figure has a swivel joint at his directly under his shoulder, a regular shoulder joint in both arms, and one wrist joint. He is bright blue, and basically the reason you get this figure is so he can stand there. His cape's kind of flowing, which for a holograph is kind of unnecessary. They're not really supposed to be dynamic. The blue lightsaber is just confusing. But it's a pretty good figure overall. I mean, it's interesting to see a take on Darth Vader that's not black. There's a rumor next year that we're going to see a white one, too. But holding this up, it's really neat because you can hold it up to the light and you can see lots of detail that you might have missed otherwise. And, you know, much like hanging a Van Gogh upside down, it makes you look at the character design of Darth Vader, which we've all seen 10 million times every week. And you can appreciate it on a whole new level because you can see all the work that they did sculpting the figure, the many layers that were put into it because you have the skirt piece, the cape, the arms, the armor. I mean, there's a lot of work done on an action figure that you probably, you know, take for granted because you don't have a chance to look at it for what it isn't rather than what it is. Darth Vader is always this big, black, menacing cyborg-looking guy. Now he's this weird little blue dude, and because he's a weird little blue dude, you can see a lot more detail than you're used to. So for Darth Vader fans, I highly recommend this one. If you've been collecting the coins, you must get this one. It has a coin of Darth Vader sitting on his communications device from The Empire Strikes Back where he communicates with the Emperor. It's the same one they used to make a recent Gentle Giant statue. It's awesome. I can't afford the statue, but I can afford the coin, and it's totally cool. It is my favorite coin of the entire line. So if you're thinking not getting this figure is a good idea, I would argue with you because the packaging art is lovely. The coin is the most awesome thing ever. So that means if it gets reissued next year without a coin, throw it back. Get the coin one. It's cool. I don't like holographic figures by and large very much. They're acceptable. But this one, the entire package, if you're a carded collector, I would say is a must-buy. If you're a loose collector, I'd still give it a low-level recommendation because it's cool. And if you're just wanting to do something creative with this, I guess you could pretend it's an ice sculpture at an Ewok dinner or something. So that's Darth Vader, the holographic version. Next, we have the one and only video game figure in this assortment. It is the Rebel Vanguard Trooper. The figure is based on the Rebel Trooper from 2006 because he's got the fancy new legs, but he has a different vest and a Rebel Fleet Trooper helmet. So this Vanguard Trooper also has a holster. Mine might be busted because it doesn't work right. I think they filled it in a little too much because I can't put the gun, the little tiny rifle, in the holster. But he has a giant bazooka kind of thing that he can hold with both hands and look in the sight on fairly well, which is interesting because his arms were developed before this gun was even a glimmer in the eye of the toy designers. So it did a really nice job. The entire figure altogether looks like it was made to be this way. Even though it's a repaint with a new vest and different accessories, it feels like Hasbro went the extra mile to design a new release, which is just weird. Its coin is okay, nothing to speak of. The reissue next year is going to come with a Star Wars Battlefront 2 display stand, so if you don't care about coins, you could probably stand to wait. Helmet's removable. Small gun doesn't fit in the holster. Big gun is the same as the gun included with the Battlefront 2 droid set from Diamond, so you might already have one of those too. Speaking of which, I think we're out of those Battlefront droid sets. Those were sold in a hurry, so thanks for buying them, everyone. This is a pretty good figure, and as far as I know, the only other Battlefront figure to come this or next year, because Hasbro certainly hasn't announced any more yet. So it's pretty good. It's certainly not one of my favorites, because I never played the Battlefront games, and figure with big gun is not necessarily the most exciting thing in the world to me, but I like to expand my Rebel Legions, and hopefully I can get one or two more, and maybe they'll even do an ethnic variant down the line. Next we have the Clone Trooper Hawkbat Battalion. You might say, I don't know what that is, but I would say, oh, but you might. The figure is basically, if you watch the Clone Wars cartoons in the first episode, there was a shot at the beginning of a bunch of Episode 2-style clone troopers sitting in the rain, firing off guns while wearing ponchos. That's what this is. It's pretty good. It could be better. This is one of two figures, I would say, that Hasbro managed to do a really great idea but missed the boat at the same time, which is really depressing because on a repaint, you know, I mean, there's not much you can really expect them to do that they wouldn't do. Unfortunately, when the mistake is made, you get the idea. The figure's based on the Evolutions clone trooper, which has a removable helmet, and it's super articulated except for the waist, which has no articulation. The helmet comes off, which is cool because you got a head underneath of it, but the helmet itself is what sucks about this figure. Hasbro left off a black paint op, and the end result is there's usually a horizontal stripe running around the top of the helmet, front and back. It's not here. They forgot it. If you look at the Evolutions figure, it's there. So if you're like me and you bought multiple Evolution sets, and because of the interchangeable pilot helmet, you have an extra clone trooper helmet, you're better off putting that helmet on this figure, or hopefully Hasbro will change it on a future release. The figure also has a poncho, a clone trooper rifle, and muddy, muddy boots. The muddy boots look a little goofy. It's not really realistic mud. It's more cartoon-style mud. The splatters look more like paint splots than they do actual mud. So some of you will like it. Some of you hate it. The poncho is pretty cool. It just goes over his shoulders. His arms cannot go through any holes in it like other ponchos. And you kind of have to futz with it to make it look cool. But it does look pretty cool. I like his figure a lot, the Hawkbat Battalion Clone Trooper. The coin's okay, and I certainly would buy more of them. But keep in mind, I am a huge fiend for Clone Wars stuff. If they make anything from the Clone Wars, I'm pretty happy. If they put something in the Clone Wars and I didn't like it before, I'll start to like it. So I am biased. If you see one, I'd recommend it unless you're clone troopered out. And I don't know if any of you read my figure of the day column at Galactic Hunter, but I think I succeeded in clone troopering out a few fans. Gotten a few angry emails from some of my readers for showing too many clone troopers this month. And that's just one of two clone troopers in this wave. And we'll get to the other one a little bit later. Next, we got this new Naboo Trooper. It is based on the mold of the Naboo Trooper from 2006. It was yellow last year, and this year it's red. Are there any other differences? Not really. The hair seems to be a little darker, and the Naboo print on the helmet is actually different. So if you look at the text on his helmet, it's not the same as it was the previous year. Or I got an error one, I'm not sure which. But to me, it looks like they actually went and changed it. So Hasbro, point to you for going the extra mile and doing something different that you didn't have to do that no one would notice. The only thing that I think could have made this figure cooler, again, ethnic variant, it looks exactly the same as last year's release, except for the fact that his suit is red instead of yellow. He has ball-jointed shoulders, ball-jointed neck, weird knee joints that aren't quite ball-jointed, but are sort of. I really can't explain it. Hip joints, waist joint, blah, 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 swivel elbows, wrists. It's a good figure. It's not a great figure. If you like Naboo stuff, you should get this. If you have a Royal Starship and are still working on filling it out because you need more figures, get one or two of these. They're not going to be shipping in a lot of cases. I think he's only shipping in two assortments, and that's it. So if you want one, I'd get one in a hurry. If you see it, you should get one. But I don't expect it to be very popular with most collectors, or even non-collectors probably won't care at all. So you shouldn't have too much trouble getting one, or two, or six. The next figure in this assortment is one of the ones that I consider to be another one of the mistakes, because it's a good figure, and it's something fans asked for, which is the most depressing part of all, but Hasbro managed to do something with it that I don't like, but then again, that's my opinion. I could be wrong, I'm not, but R2-B1, unfortunately, wasn't as cool as it could be. I was one of the lucky collectors who found R2-B1 sitting in stores in 2000 without too much trouble. I saw him a couple of times and didn't see what the fuss was. The original R2-B1 was pretty good. He had a vac metal chrome head, blue body, and yellow markings on his dome. It looked like it should. It had a lot of good detail on it. It was actually one of the best painted astromech droids in the entire line. The new one is okay, but kind of half-assed. The figure... Where to begin? The blue body color is good. It's dark like it should be. The yellow is really bright yellow. I haven't seen the actual droid in person ever, so I don't know how bright the yellow should be, but it's very, very bright. And it looks cool. As a new character or a new droid or something Hasbro just made up, this is a really striking figure. As an update to a figure that we all wanted from a couple years ago, I don't know. The contrast is a little blinding. The figure has additional yellow and silver markings on his feet. The droid in the movie, from the pictures that I have looked at, does not have these markings on his feet, so take that as you will as far as being good or bad. The wires were painted yellow, which doesn't make any sense because the wires on droids are usually kind of a brownish wire color and not bright yellow. The figure's dome was not painted. The yellow markings are painted, but the gray was molded in gray. It's not silver like they've been for every single astromech droid for the past several years, so... But my first reaction when seeing this was, what kind of paint marker do I need to buy to fix this? I guess, I don't know if it was an error that they're going to correct or not, but it looks kind of stupid because it doesn't fit in with the other droids. It really is unfortunate when you have a droid and you've been collecting droids and it doesn't match your other ones because someone forgot to put a paint op on there. Also, the figure has the light-up eye port, but here's where it gets funny. For a light-up eye port to work, typically how it's been since 1995 is on top of the head, the little yellow circle in the middle of the head, or blue, depending on the droid, is a clear plastic that allows light to shine through and come out the front of the eye on the head, which isn't how it does it in the movie, but whatever. On this figure, they actually left the clear eye on the front, but painted over the top. So to Hasbro, that's my sarcastic clapping. This was a poorly executed figure that I'm going to guess was probably done by the factory at the last minute, and Hasbro just said, oh, change this to this color, change this to this color, and it didn't translate very well. I could be wrong. My apologies to anyone working at Hasbro who did this. I don't mean to offend you, but you did a bad job. And I like Astromech droids a lot. To me, this works great as an original droid, but as an update to R2-B1, unacceptable. I'm going to have to customize one or hope Hasbro does another one in the future. So, sorry to say, I didn't think it turned out that good. But if you don't have an R2-B1, and let's face it, that's why you'd buy this figure, I guess it's acceptable. It just doesn't fit in with my other droids. Pax Bonkick is Greedo, but not. You might say, I don't understand what you mean, and I don't know who Pax Bonkick is. Well, okay, there's a reason for that. In Episode 1, there was a lot of aliens, and the Star Wars website had a contest that allowed fans to pick background aliens and make up the backstory, because Lucasfilm hadn't bothered to do so yet. Which, to me, is kind of stupid. But, you know, I am one of the most hate-filled people in the world, so obviously I have to hate on things. The actual character is a Greedo, or Rodian, rather, with a different colored vest, and the face is painted differently. The action figure is Greedo with a different vest, and the face is painted differently, just like the movie. So it takes the vintage 2006 Greedo, which is really a good figure if you get a chance to see it. It removes the holster and removes the cloth soft goods vest, which most fans didn't like, and replaces it with a blue plastic vest, which I don't think you can easily remove. Maybe it's just the weather. The figure has a really dark blue bodysuit with paint wash on it to make it look kind of gritty and dirty, which looks really cool. He has really dark green hands, and his face, oh my god, it's gorgeous. As far as alien face painting goes, Hasbro, you've outdone yourself. For a repaint, this is so good, I don't deserve it. The figure has a dark green head, but his snout looks like it was painted white, and then this light green was painted over it, and it fades into the dark green. Oh man, it looks great. I'm spoiled by this figure. The deco is so good, Hasbro. I'm going to have to expect stuff like this from you in the future. I'm impressed. I really like this. Some fans might say, I don't need another Greedo, and you'd be right. I have Greedo, and I don't need this one. He's a great background alien. If you want someone to throw in Jabba's palace or a cantina or in a vehicle, if you have a vehicle that needs a random pilot, he's great. He can sit. He can hold his gun. He looks awesome. He's super articulated. I couldn't ask for anything more of a background alien. Even though it's just a repaint of an alien who didn't have a name until some fan made it up in a contest, it's a great figure. So, Hasbro, good job. I wish I could say I was excited about the prospect of owning the character, but after I have the figure in my hand, it's one of my favorites. I like messing with it, and again, I don't think I can say much more other than if you are a fan who likes weird aliens or can appreciate a toy that's fun, buy it. I don't know how kids would react toward it, but it works. The last figure in this wave of figures is the 7th Legion Clone Trooper. You might say, I don't know what the 7th Legion is. Well, that's good, because neither did I until a couple weeks ago. I've seen one before, but I didn't know what it was called. The 7th Legion is that weird Legion of Episode 3-style Clone Trooper that didn't appear in the movie, but it did appear in the concept art, the art of book, and the first action figures released. There was a deluxe Clone Trooper released in 2005 that was white and had these reddish-maroonish circles all over his armor. That's what this is. The figure is based on the Evolutions Episode 3 body, which was also used to make the Clone Combat Engineer and the 501st Clone Trooper in the Battlefront sets. The figure's waist, on mine anyway, is really loose, so he's kind of wobbly and you can kind of spin him if you wanted to. The belt is also very loose and upside down. Hasbro screwed up on that one. It's kind of U-shaped instead of N-shaped because of that. The figure's got what might be the best dirt battle damage on the body I've seen in quite some time. There's a lot of mud on the front and the back. Hasbro basically said, oh, we're not going to waste time and money putting battle damage on the back of figures. Well, apparently they recanted because there's a big black mark splotch thing on the back, this big gray thing on the back shoulder panel, kind of an ink wash on the panel on the back of his armor. The back of his legs is really dirty. There's all these red markings all over him. His belt has some battle damage on it. The belt, for crying out loud. And there's ink wash all over it. You might think it's overkill, you might not, but it really brings out the detail of the figure, and it looks really good. He has a removable helmet, which is a good thing. The helmet itself has very little paint on it. I don't know if it's because the helmet doesn't accept paint, although he's painted, so I guess it does, but there's no battle damage on it, so the helmet doesn't match the rest of the figure very well, which is kind of disappointing, because the rest of the figure is really cool. The helmet comes off, so the head underneath, you can see a head that has kind of Vulcan-y eyebrows. It's like someone shaved his eyebrows and drew them back in to look kind of arched. So it doesn't look great. It looks okay, though. He has red markings on his forearms, shoulder, hands, the back of his legs, and his belt. As far as I know, this is the only version of a 7th Legion clone trooper that has been made, aside from the one in Deluxe 3-pack, where it had no name or identification as to its Legion. So that means that all of those three Deluxe troopers with the weird wacky colors from 2005... have been replicated as more or less super articulated action figures elsewhere in the line. We got the green and the blue ones late last year. The figure is basically super articulated. He has a normal swivel waist and can be moved pretty much anywhere else, any way you want. So Hasbro, good job. Kind of wished it was a super articulated 41 mold, but I'll take what I can get. The gun looks really good and has a great deco on it. It's dark gunmetal gray with light gray highlights, which sounds probably worse than it looks, because in the right lighting, it looks, I would almost say, realistic, for lack of a better word. It's very lifelike, and even though I'm kind of, I got enough clone troopers, I'm not sorry Hasbro made this one, because they did a really good job on it. So thank you, Hasbro, for making a figure so good, it keeps my attention. And that's it for this week's Figure of the Week. Wow, that went over to be a longer show than I expected. We're already at like 26 and a half minutes. So thank you for listening in, everyone. I hope I didn't talk you out, but if you are still here and you are like, yeah, you talk about Star Wars too much, email me. Let me know. Adam at 16bit.com, ADAM at 16bit.com. I will respond to your comments if I get them. And yeah, I'll be happy to answer questions, whatever you may have. So email me. We update almost every week. We will probably be here next week. And let me pull up my calendar. Yeah, we're probably going to have a show every week for a while, so at least through December you'll have something to listen to if you download podcast on Friday. There's not a lot else to tell you about. Entertainment has been getting in a lot of shipments lately. It's kind of ridiculous how many shipments we're getting in lately. If you look at the new items tab on the website, you'll get an idea of how much we're receiving every single day and adding to the website too. So if you got something on back order, it's been on back order for a while, there's a good chance it's coming soon. If it was due to ship this month. So keep an eye on your orders. I almost totally forgot to mention. Big Lebowski and Flash Gordon action figures are in stock. These are made by Biff Bang Pow. Right now they're mostly distributed through EE Distribution. So if you want them, that's who you get them from. You can also order them from your local stores, or you can ask your local stores if they order Biff Bang Pow products, which they can do through EE Distribution. There's four action figures plus an exclusive Black Ming. This should have been in the ad section or the news section, but I wanted to let you all know that Big Lebowski is here, as I've been asked about it a lot, because we announced this stuff like a year and a half ago, and the final result's pretty nice, so be sure to order yours if you want any. If you don't want any, forget I said anything. I'll see you guys next week. Continue having great holidays, because you're going to have a bunch more really soon. See you next time.